Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Tuesday on the Daily Tip on the MGM Network. Good morning. Appreciate you waking up with us. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in our final 60 minutes, two Monday Night Football games to tell you about, with the Falcons taking flight against the Bills in Atlanta. Then in 20 minutes, back to baseball we go, and how about the remaining games as we bring in our friend pro bettor Adam Trigger from Wager Talk. And finally, we'll tell you the games we like the most and the plays we're on tonight when we reveal our best bets. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium. How you doing? Little tip of the cap as we stream our final hour. If you would like to join us as we do so, you can go to BallySportsLive.com or just download the Bally Sports Live app. Last night in Atlanta, we're going to jump right into it here. The Falcons stunning the Bills 24-14. The Falcons getting 4 points. They're plus 180 on the money line. Total set at 50. The under hits. A great result for the books. And what a performance from Bijan Robinson.
A first and five. Robinson off the right side. Breaks free. Bijan Robinson spinning down the sideline. Still going. Can they catch him? They cannot. Touchdown, Falcons, 81 yards.
Chris Fowler on ESPN. Robinson matches a career high with 170 yards on the ground, makes six catches for a career high 68 yards, giving him 238 yards from scrimmage. That is also a personal best. Drake London, 10 catches, 158 yards at a score. And the Falcons defense ranked number one in the National Football League. Hold Josh Allen to 15 of 26 in the air for 180 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. Here we are, the Bills starting off like gangbusters this season, Chelsea, 4-0. Now they've lost two straight, and very quietly, the Patriots lead the AFC East. But this was really about Atlanta showing that that defense is for real and taking advantage of the weapons that they have offensively.
Oh, absolutely. Because we knew that this was going to line up for a good game on the ground for the Falcons, just simply because that has been one of the flaws of the Bills' defense, is that they can't stop the run. So when you have a weapon like Bijan Robinson who can, you know, run the ball, he can catch the ball, he is such a Swiss Army knife. And even his head coach after the game, Raheem Morris, said he thinks that Bijan Robinson is the best player in the NFL. Now, I don't know if I'd go that far. I do think he's a top 10 player, maybe. But still, all around, great game from the Falcons. I will say, you know, they established the run early, and they didn't have to do too much in the second half, but that's where their defense stepped in. Like you said, coming into this game, the Falcons' defense had great numbers, but I think we needed to answer the question of, okay, can you do it against the best teams in the NFL? So now it feels like some of those questions have been answered. This defense of the Falcons is absolutely for real.
Yeah, they are legit. They did a great job of pressuring Josh Allen last night. So Josh Allen now has thrown three picks in his last four games, which is not like him. Now, he needed some help out there too. So playing without Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid, so he kind of looked out of sorts, and he was pressured 47% of the time last night by the Falcons. So we knew the Falcons' secondary was really good, but also they were able to get pressure up front, and when you can throw off a guy like Josh Allen, you're doing something right. And that was one of my questions going into this game is, okay, you've disrupted guys like a J.J. McCarthy, for example, or you had some success against Marcus Mariota when he was filling in for Jaden Daniels. But when the reigning MVP comes into your house and you're able to throw him off with your pressure, then you're doing something right. And so
we're seeing a Falcons team I think is interesting because they're more of a complete team than I thought. I knew offensively they were going to do some things. They probably have a top five unit on the offensive line. They have plenty of playmakers, and now we're starting to see those playmakers start to sort of be the sum of their parts, if you will, and start to perform with Bijan, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, those guys, Michael Penix Jr. now, who is continuing to get better. But if they have a defense, Raheem Morris's defense, to go along with that, Falcons could be a problem.
I think now the question is, can they be consistent? Because remember, there was still a game this year where they lost 30-0 to the Panthers. So that's sometimes what you see from a team with a young quarterback in Michael Penix Jr. But again, it makes things so much easier when your defense is consistent, because it just feels like your team's always going to have a chance to win it. Obviously, you know, if you give up 30 points and don't give up or don't score a single point, those games are not going to be close. But my point being is that this is a Falcons team that looks like that's in good shape. They have a good foundation, and Michael Penix Jr. should only get better down the stretch. But my question for the Bills is that if you can't do it against, you know, the top defenses, like, that's where the bar is set for the Bills. It's not set on, hey, what can you do against the Dolphins? What can you do against the Saints? Because it's Super Bowl or bust for the Bills. You know, they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. I know the odds have lengthened a bit, but it is troubling for the Bills. Like, I don't want to overreact to a two-game stretch because the NFL is a long season. But, Jenks, do you think it's fair to have questions about the Bills as Super Bowl contenders?
I do, and the one thing that I have overlooked is that if you look at the Bills' schedule when they started 4-0, like, hindsight, of course, is 20-20, but they got that incredible win over the Ravens in Week 1, right? Okay. Then they beat the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Saints. So that's how they started 4-0. Last 2 weeks, Patriots, Falcons, two losses. So looking back now, when we're starting to see these teams in the NFL start to develop an identity, like we're seeing, hey, the Colts are pretty good, the Ravens are going to be terrible this year, all of a sudden that Week 1 win over Baltimore, even though they had Lamar Jackson back then, maybe doesn't seem as impressive. So I think if you're Buffalo, look, I'm not going to freak out because of a couple of losses. This is still the Super Bowl favorite at BetMGM right now. They're 6-1. The Chiefs are plus 650. Packers are 8-1. They still have Josh Allen, but I think that they rely on Josh Allen to play hero ball a little too much. Didn't help that he didn't have his weapons last night. I think it's the Bills' defense more than anything else, as I talk through this, that I'm worried about the most. The Bills' defense allowed 335 yards last night in two quarters. In two quarters. And so, as good as the Bills' offense might be, I think we're seeing that if they have an off night, the defense is not going to carry the day, which goes back to the idea that Buffalo is just going to outscore you if they want to win games.
Right, and that was a problem for the Bills, like, going into this game. Like, going into this game, the Bills gave up 5.6 yards per carry. So that is a trend. Like, that is not something that is an anomaly in this game and just saying, hey, Bijan Robinson's really good. No, that's been a problem for the Bills all season long. So it feels like we've seen postseasons pass where Josh Allen has had these Herculean efforts, but, like, the defense can't stop whoever they are playing, and normally it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So, like, that's something that I feel like is going to be a true problem throughout the season, because, honestly, I do feel like Josh Allen deserves some credit to where you say, okay, the past two games were not great, but, like, look at every quarterback in the NFL. It just feels like nobody dominates game in and game out, and, like, maybe we saw that from Josh Allen last year. It's just, it is too difficult of a league, and I still feel like Josh Allen is one of the best players in the NFL. So I am not expecting that trend of Josh Allen looking mediocre to continue.
Oh, not at all. And this is, okay, a bit of an off game, maybe off couple of games for him, but he's too good. MVP for a reason. Those guys are going to get healthier. Again, he was without two of his primary weapons last night, lost another one of his receivers later on in the game. I think, again, we're going to hear over the next couple weeks, because the Bills are on the bye now, and Sean McDermott was saying after the game, yeah, we're going to have to reset. They really have issues on defense. They get a couple guys back on the defensive line, so that should help as well. But that was one of the criticisms of Buffalo during the offseason. Have you done enough to address a leaky defense? That's going to be a big question mark going into the next couple weeks. Next up for the Bills, They have a bye. The Falcons visit the Niners on Sunday Night Football. Right here in D.C., the Bears edge the Commanders 25-24. Bears getting 5.5 points. The Bears plus 200 on the money line. Total set at 49 and a hook. So the under hits by a half point. Last year, we all remember the Hail Noah, the Hail Mary. Washington winning that game against Chicago in dramatic fashion. Not last night. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 108 yards, catches two passes for 57 yards. Still Washington with a chance to win this game, just more than 3 minutes to play, and this was the critical moment in this game. The Commanders up 24-22. It's a third and one, wet football because the rain started coming down, the winds were swirling. Jaden Daniels cannot secure the snap. He fumbles it while trying to hand it off to Bill Kroski Merritt. The Bears recover, they drive down the field, and then they have this to win it.
Snap a bit high, kick is good, and the Bears win it. Jake Moody, a hero tonight.
Whatever. That's Joe Buck on ABC. Caleb Williams, 252 yards and a score, and full credit to the Bears. Caleb Williams continues to improve, but if you're me, if you're D-Day here, couple of Commanders fans sounded so dismissive. D-Day here. But, I mean, it's frustrating because it was right there. You feel like if the Commanders get that yard, they win this game. And so that was the worst turnover at the worst time.
Yeah, but I do feel like it should feel comforting that Jaden Daniels at least looks healthy. Mm-hmm. And it feels like once he gets his full cupboard of weapons back, like whenever Terry McLaurin is coming back to the team, that would be nice. That you do still have a very good football team. But I feel like we need to talk about the Bears for a minute, because I feel like this was a massive win for the culture of the Chicago Bears, because last year it felt like a team that was not very resilient. And we saw that start, you know, with the game against the Commanders where they lost, and then it triggered, you know, this downfall for the Bears where they lost all these games in a row. And now we're seeing a team that has some resiliency and a team that can win close games, because it's been back-to-back weeks where the Bears have won by exact scores of 25-24. And I understand Caleb Williams was not perfect in this game, but in some of the big moments where he needed to make the throws, he did get the job done. So I think it's a good sign of things to come for a Bears team that once looked kind of soft, maybe turning the corner.
I mean, we're starting to see that, I feel like, with Ben Johnson. So a couple weeks ago, Caleb Williams had arguably his best game as a pro against the Cowboys. And I know the Cowboys have a garbage defense, and the Washington defense is definitely not that great either. But all you can do is perform against the teams on your schedule. And I will say that Caleb Williams is starting to show more poise. And this was huge. This was a big subplot tonight, right? Or last night, because Caleb Williams, as we know, drafted one. Jaden Daniels drafted two. All of a sudden, the Bears come here. Last year, they lose on that Hail Mary. And then after that, what happened to the Bears? They went into a tailspin. They lost 10 straight games. That win by the Commanders propelled them into what eventually became an appearance in the NFC Championship game. And also, Caleb Williams was returning to D.C. last night. He went to Gonzaga High School here in D.C., so he's from this area. So all of that sort of played into Williams returning last night and the pressure maybe being on him to prove, hey, I can be as good as Jaden Daniels, or I'm on an upward trajectory as well. And he is making less of those Superman-type plays that he was trying to make during his rookie season. He looks like a guy who is really taking to Ben Johnson.
Right, and it looks like the Bears finally have a competent head coach as well, because a competent head coach would say that, be like, listen, look across the league at the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Sometimes they don't need to do it all, especially with teams who actually win football games. Maybe you can look at the Bengals back when they had Joe Burrow and he was playing hero ball. He put up MVP numbers, but that team didn't even make the playoffs. So I think it's a good point.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to all of a sudden elevate someone to all-pro status just because of a couple of good games. But ultimately, I will say that's what you want to see. It's never going to be success in a straight line, particularly a quarterback in the National Football League. And also, if you look at Caleb Williams and his development, this is almost a rewrite of his rookie season, because last year, we know, was a total disaster under Matt Eberflus. So what was the talk? That they wouldn't even watch film with him. So if you're Caleb Williams, this is essentially a reset, right? You've got a new head coach, a new offensive system, a new offensive coordinator. So It's not going to surprise me if he's lagging behind Jaden Daniels a little bit at this point, but I feel like this is huge for his confidence and huge for the Bears, who, look, had some turnovers in this game, but also it was the Commanders who had the most critical turnovers at the worst time, and the Bears took advantage of it, which is exactly what they're supposed to do.
So are you worried about the Commanders' defense moving forward?
Yes. Yes. In a big way. So the secondary has had problems giving up explosive plays all year. And then last night, late in the game, DeAndre Swift was just running all over. I mean, he essentially did that all game. But late in the game, when the Commanders could have used a stop and maybe there was a possibility they stopped the Bears, you know, they have some time left on the clock after forcing the Bears to kick a field goal earlier. They just couldn't do it. And Chicago was able to run off the clock, and they kicked that field goal for the win. Coming up next here on the show, Adam Trigger from Wager Talk is along to talk baseball betting. That is here on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a perfect time to bring in Adam Trigger from Wager Talk, which we will do in mere moments. I've got a full tumbler of coffee, and then I thought, you know what? I've had 2 hours of sleep. How about some Red Bull? I don't think this was my best idea.
I saw the Red Bull come out, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, I know.
On a Tuesday, that's a tough look.
That's a tough one. No drinking involved. I just had 2 hours of sleep, and I got to do Commanders after this. I'm going straight to Ashburn. So it's going to be...
Yeah, you got to get the nice Lyft or Uber out there, the comfort, maybe take a nap in the back.
Yeah. And then my day started off, I'm tired, I get in a Lyft.
You're going to have the most talkative driver.
Oh, I got in this morning, and I feel really bad. Like, I understand that Uber and Lyft doesn't treat their drivers the best, but I get in, and the first thing I hear is, how much are you paying for this ride? I'm like... And I was like, I don't know, is what I told him. Because he immediately wanted to tell me that Lyft wasn't paying him enough. And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't.
Like, all right, bro, let's cancel this drive. I'll give you $6 less than what I'm paying right now.
Yeah.
It's still more for you.
Yeah, we can do that. It's not my... I do not work for Lyft. You know, I'm just a man. Just a man trying to get a ride to work. And just a man trying to win some bets. So we bring in our good friend, Adam Trigger, pro sports handicapper for Wager Talk. Oh, I have to ask, I looked at your shirt for a second, and I thought for a hot second that was a Commander's shirt. I'm like, no, that's not the Commander's W. What is that?
That's the Wager Talk W. This is some new gear that they've sent us. So
nice.
Yeah, I have a whole closet full of these now. I think it says Wager. Yeah, it says Wager Talk on the sleeve.
Oh, nice.
Here. I might be able to pull some strings and get you one of these if you want.
But yeah.
I'll
take any free
swag.
We got them. Yeah.
We've got them in a couple of different colors, and someone on the show is like, so I do a daily baseball show, and they're like, you wear the same thing every day. I've said, well, they want me to wear the company issued gear, so I've got like black, gray. I think we have a white somewhere. So, but once College Hoop starts, I told them, I said, my part of my bit, because I go all over to these different schools, is collecting gear, and then I wear it on my show. So they said that's fine. So college basketball, I'll be back to wearing Lemoyne hoodies and stuff.
Fair enough. I feel like that's a good strategy. You just transition into, you know, the gear come college. Until then, though, all Wager Talk. So let me ask you this before we get into baseball. You have a baseball show, but I know, based on talking with you before, you're very passionate about college basketball. Is college basketball, is that sort of the holy grail for you as far as sports betting is concerned?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, I could do a whole segment on how it's gotten tougher to win. I think everyone that bets any sort of college sport, college basketball or college football, would agree that it's a more challenging environment with NIL, the transfer portal, so on and so forth. But for me, I still think that that's more manageable in college basketball. Smaller rosters, less to worry about in terms of, you know, the number of human beings moving around or mm-hmm. getting paid or not getting paid or locker room issues. And then, you know, I'm a small conference guy. I went to Siena College. You know, that's part of the reason I love college basketball so much is that was our main sport. We didn't have a football team. And, you know, just getting to the NCAA tournament as a mid-major is just a tremendous experience. And I was there during the Fran McCaffrey years. So sort of like the golden era of Siena basketball. But that's where you can win money. The smaller conferences, it's still more of a pure market. There's not as much NIL. So, yeah, I can't wait for college basketball season.
Okay. So, until then, we've got baseball to talk about. And not as easy to find value here in these markets. But we've got the Mariners up 2-0 on the Blue Jays. Are you surprised about this result thus far? And how do you find any sort of value coming up in Game 3 tomorrow?
You know, I used to think there wasn't as much value in the Major League Baseball postseason. And I think that probably years ago, maybe there wasn't. Now, I feel like there's so much more public money in the playoff market that it does create spots in the playoffs that are as good as any spot you're going to find during the regular season. I'll give you an example. Game one, the Mariners being as big of an underdog as they were in game one was crazy. And a lot of that was driven off the fact that we had the entire country watch a game on Friday night, Mariners-Tigers. It goes 15 innings. You end up having people making memes on social media of like two boxers where it's like the Blue Jays are just chilling watching like a 12-round fight and like licking their lips because they're going to get a team that's tired. And if you watch baseball all year, you know that, like, yeah, I mean, listen, there's not as many 15-inning games anymore with the new extra inning rules in the regular season. But that's not going to, you know, with a day off in between, that's not as big of a deal as I think that it was made to be going into that game one. I played Mariners plus 1.5 in that game one. I thought that line was completely off. And so there is still spots that you can find in the postseason, one of which we'll talk about in a minute for tonight's game. As far as Mariners Blue Jays are concerned, I think, I don't know if I did this show or I did one of the other MGM shows. I gave Mariners out like in a ladder format back in May on MGM programming. So to win the AL, win the AL West when they were like 6-1 to win the AL and to win the World Series. But as far as this series, like, don't think the Blue Jays are out of this just because these two games didn't go their way. I don't think either of these teams is dominant enough where it's like Seattle's going to take this two-game lead back to their home stadium and just come out and like sweep this series. So I would actually look to find a way to play the Blue Jays in Game 3 or Game 4. I think that's likely where the value will be. But I would keep it as like a game-to-game basis because this is a pretty even matchup, Blue Jays-Mariners, and that series could flip on a dime, in my opinion.
Yeah, when you laddered those Seattle bets, that was on this show, actually. You did it here.
It was on this show. I knew it was on this show. Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, yeah, well done. So let's talk about Dodgers-Brewers game two tonight. How are you betting on this game?
See, so I think there's some value here with the Brewers. I make the Brewers a slight favorite at home. And this really comes down to just, again, you have so much more money in the individual game market once you get to the Major League Baseball playoffs that, you know, and relative to like what these games, the type of handle these games would get during the regular season. And so the Dodgers, we've seen them win a couple of games. We see them win a series against the Reds, which was, you know, kind of a mismatch. And then they go out and beat the Phillies. And I said on my show yesterday, I still think the Dodgers are probably the best of the four teams remaining. And I still believe that to be the case. But if I'm just looking at this game, I'm not sure that the Brewers should be a home underdog with this matchup. So we'll start with Freddie Peralta. He, you know, Freddie Peralta, I don't think gets enough credit. He's had a tremendous season. 2.70 ERA, 1.08 whip. Quietly has been, like, pitching is hard to find these days. You don't find many very, like, just really quality starting pitchers that you can pretty much trust to go out there every fifth day. And he's been one of them, yet I don't think he gets the credit that, like, a Tarik Skubal gets or a Zach Wheeler before he got hurt or even a Yamamoto that we'll talk about in a second. He just kind of, you know, he's up there in Milwaukee. I feel like this Brewers team has flown under the radar for a lot of the season. He's flown under the radar for a lot of the season. And I think you have people looking at him saying, well, he struggled a little bit against the Cubs. And that might be true, but that's a division rival. Those two teams, Cubs, Brewers, played 18 games this year. At some point, that's a good Cubs lineup. They're going to figure out a guy like Peralta after getting that much exposure to him year over year. And even last series where he's going to, you're going to have people look and say, well, he didn't pitch very well against the Cubs. 15 strikeouts and 9 2/3. He just kind of gave up a big hit or two. I wouldn't put too much stock into his quote-unquote struggles against a division rival that knows him. Well, not saying that the Dodgers don't have a great lineup. They absolutely do. I wasn't overly impressed with the Dodgers at-bats the last couple games yesterday and then going back to the Philly series where they kind of, you know, needed a 2-1 win to win that series. And then I look at Yamamoto. I mean, he's great as well, but I don't think that there's a huge difference between Yamamoto Peralta from like a power rating standpoint here.
Okay.
And the second Yamamoto's out of this game, that's a big advantage to the Brewers. I don't trust Dave Roberts in these late inning situations right now. He's going to get bit at some point. The Phillies pretty much had him. They let him off the hook. Yesterday, Bryce Terang doesn't get out of the way of that ball. It's a tie game. I really felt like the Brewers were going to make him pay for bringing Sasaki in the ninth inning. Dave Roberts, not a great in-game manager. And right now, I just think that he's looking in his bullpen. There's good arms in there, but not ones that I really want in like a big-time leverage spot. I didn't like the Sasaki decision. He's a guy that I think is thrown better out of the bullpen, but I'd rather have him like they brought him into the Philly series, a 1-1 game in the eighth inning at home, up 2-1 in the series, not on the road in a save situation. And again, I'm surprised they didn't have to pay for that. I think the Brewers have a nice late inning advantage here because of kind of drawing some blood late last night and feeling like they could have got over the hump. And then I don't think Peralta Yamamoto is a huge like disadvantage for the Brewers. So now you put the Brewers at home, down 1-0 in the series, but you're going to give me +110. I think there's real value on Milwaukee there.
We're talking with Adam Trigger, pro sports handicapper for Wager Talk. Find him on X at Adam Trigger WT. Okay, so when you try to reconcile the entire scope of the regular season versus what you've seen in the playoffs, like how much emphasis do you put on one versus the other when looking at these particular matchups?
So that's a really interesting question. I think it plays here a little bit because, of course, you had six regular season matchups between these two teams. Milwaukee won all six of them, but the Dodgers come out and win last night. So I go back to the regular season. All of those were in July. They were somewhat insignificant games for the Dodgers. One series came right before the All-Star break. One came right out of the All-Star break. Dodgers had a lot of All-Stars. I would not judge the Dodgers on those series. Okay. Peralta pitched in both series, so they've seen him twice. One, he pitched really well. One, the other, they kind of knocked him around a little bit. But, like, again, back in July, I even said on my show yesterday, I'm going to put almost zero stock into this matchup as it happened during the regular season. But for, like, again, I think playoff baseball, you really have to handicap the managers a little bit. I've been saying this all postseason. I prefer to lean toward the side that has who I believe to be the better manager, at least the better, you know, kind of guy that's going to pull the strings in game, that might have the better game plan where it sets up a little better. I really think that's Pat Murphy right now. He has blown my expectations away for him as a manager when he kind of took over for Craig Counsell. And Dave Roberts, again, he's always got the best talent. He's going to blow one at some point. I don't think he knows exactly what he wants to do at the end of games. Yesterday, you can see he brings Sasaki in for the save, second guesses himself, trying and gets out of a jam on a pitch where it wasn't even close to the zone. The pitch before easily could have hit Terang and walked in the winning run. It was just I don't trust Roberts in these tight, close games, and you're going to have a game like that. You can't keep getting in these games. So the previous one was the Phillies, right? They end up kind of benefiting from the Kirkring throw to home and winning an extra inning game. I just don't think Dave Roberts is capable of not screwing up a close game at some point. And so now that I can get the Brewers as an underdog in a spot, I'd be surprised if this is a blowout. So give me a close game, home team, better, you know, who I think might have the better late game setup. and at home, and you're going to give me plus money, like that to me is worth a bet.
Adam, got about a minute or so left here, but what is one bet card wide open for you that you really like?
Card wide open for me right in baseball right now?
Any sport.
Okay, you're going to let me go way off the board here. You'll have to dig for this one. I'm sure BetMGM will offer this one somewhere at some point. I think my alma mater, the Siena Saints, are going to win the MAC this year. And you you will get good plus money on that because Quinnipiac is probably going to be the odds-on favorite. They were able to keep Mari Moore, their player of the year in the conference last year, basically turned down. He could have probably went to, like, Kansas. He had some big-time suitors looking for him, and he decided to stay at Quinnipiac. It's going to make them the favorite. There's also some other teams like that are – Iona's always going to be priced up there. I think they're probably a year or two away with their new coach. And there's some other teams that are in that top category. Siena has – they were able to keep pretty much everyone that I think they would want to keep. Gavin Doty, they have like their backcourt back. Jerry McNamara, former Syracuse Orange in his second year as head coach. And they aren't priced as the favorite, and I think they should be. So maybe a little bit of a homer pick. But Siena hasn't won the MAC in a while, and I think this is the year they do it. And if you bet that, it's going to be very good value because they're not going to be they're likely not going to be the favorite. And even if they're like second favorite or third favorite, you'll still get good plus money on that. So that would be my, first college basketball play of the season, if you will. Siena to win the MAC. I think that's a really good bet.
We're going to remember that just like we remember you coming on this show and talking about Seattle many months ago. Pro sports handicapper for Wager Talk and on X at Adam Trigger WT. It is Adam Trigger. Adam, always a pleasure, and enjoy the free swag, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Coming next year on the show, time to get back in the saddle and tell you our favorite plays for tonight. It is a Tuesday best bets, and the Dogster headed your way. It is a daily tip on the BetMGM Network. Come on back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. It is a daily tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins here on a Tuesday. Best bets of the Dogster headed your way shortly. Also got bet sweats on the way, top of the hour. Bring in Joe O, maybe Sammy P today. Ask what they think about ALCS, NLCS, Monday Night Football last night. Commanders blowing it against the Bears who get the win. And then the Falcons taking care of business against the Bills. More NFL news for you here. So Lions defensive back Brian Branch has been suspended by one game from the NFL. This after his fight with Juju Smith-Schuster on Sunday Night Football. So this is from John Runyon, the NFL VP of Football Operations, writing this in a letter to Branch. Quote, "Your aggressive non-football act was entirely unwarranted, posed a serious risk of injury, and clearly violated the standards of conduct and sportsmanship expected of NFL players." Now, the story behind this is that during the game, number one, Branch was upset because Juju Smith-Schuster apparently pushed him in the back right in front of a referee. Referee didn't call it. And then after the game, he's already frustrated about that. Patrick Mahomes tries to give him a high five. He doesn't high five Patrick Mahomes. Smith-Schuster goes up to him. essentially says, what's the deal? And then that's when Brian Branch threw a punch and the melee started after the Chiefs win. So is this the right call by the NFL? Too much? Too little? Double D, I'll bring you in here for a second. I kind of feel like that this is absolutely not too much. If you're the NFL, don't you have to set a standard here and say, we're not going to have any sort of violence in an already violent game, especially when it comes out of nowhere? Like, if it's during the run of play and guys have to be separated and, you know, you're in a pile, that's one thing. But if you're going up to shake someone's hand or to say something to them after the game and you take a shot to the face, doesn't the NFL have to tamp down on this quick?
I honestly believe it's justified. The one game suspension is justified. Where I'm having the issue is Branch going, oh, I'm going to appeal. What?
That?
What,
yeah, why?
What? And here's where I'm at. If I'm Dan Campbell, I walk right up to Branch as soon as I hear the word appeal come out of his mouth and go, eat it. Take the game suspension. You deserve it. This is not what we do. Like he said in the post-game press conference, this is not who we are as Detroit Lions. This is not what we do. I apologize to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Right. Just be the leader of the locker room.
Yeah. Hey, look at it from this other angle where I smacked him in the face. It's not nearly as bad if you look at it from here. Or here's the slow motion angle where I definitely hit him right in the chin and smacked him. Yeah. If Dan Campbell says this is not what we do, this is not who we are, then why appeal? You just take the L and say, you know what? I deserve this. It's my fault. It's on me. And I think the NFL will deny it, as they rightfully should. And if you're the NFL, you have to set an example here, don't you? You're already the most violent sport in the world outside of, like, cobra wrangling.
And the Dana White, you know, smacking.
Well, yeah, well, also, you know,
that's called.
Yeah.
Well, when Dan Campbell said we want to bite kneecaps, I don't know that he necessarily meant we're going to smack Juju Smith-Schuster around. You got to fight it, though. I'm with Branch.
Appeal. You think so?
Fight the man. Stick the double bird to the NFL. This is a violent game. Juju Smith-Schuster, he was being the nice guy. Oh, I'm going to shake your hand. Nah, you got to fight the man.
Also,
see if you can get suspended for like a quarter or something. You know what I mean? Have Dan Campbell be like, hey, we're going to arrest you for a quarter.
Can I just say that I saw this headline, and I don't know if this one's going to take off or not, but this is tangential to the Chiefs. Research done by a team at UTEP presents evidence that the Chiefs have benefited from slanted officiating from 2015 to 2023, a time that coincided with their rise as one of the NFL's most marketable franchises.
All right, looks like we got some Tuesday reading.
Oh, so don't you know the people who believe that the Chiefs always get the calls are going to say, now we have evidence. It's not just me. Oh, no. We have university-backed research here that says the Chiefs get all the calls.
How do we feel about UTEP? You're the Texas guy.
Yeah.
I know we don't like the... Like, if this came from the Aggies, we're immediately saying,
nah, it's bogus. No, I won't believe it.
If it came from Texas Tech, you're like, nope, oil money, no. They paid it off. But how do we feel about UTEP? Like, where do they rank between the, you know, Harvard of the South, that is Texas, mm-hmm. of course, and then the everything else that is A&M and Texas Tech and whatever other universities you don't like in Texas?
Harvard 2, UTEP 1 is where we're going.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's the University of Texas at El Paso. I mean, here's the thing. What dog do they have in the fight? It's UTEP. You know what I mean?
I guess this is better than... Remember when that high school kid or like the middle school kid in Pittsburgh did like a scientific project on Deflategate?
Oh, that's right.
And we're like, I mean, this is like cute, but you're 12. You know, I'm not going to take this massively. So I guess when it's university-backed, you're like, hey, maybe there's a little something going on here.
It's true. And I say that because, like, the NFL is going to protect its Kansas City Chiefs. Brian Branch will serve a one-game suspension. There's no question about it. Speaking of cobra wrangling, Double D, I feel like that's something that you might have done in your life. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if you're like, I went head-to-head with a cobra. Have you ever done something like that?
No, just ridden a great white shark. That's all.
No, you haven't. Liar.
What do you want? How do you want me to respond to that?
No, the only reason I say that is because when I swear to God, you know, God love parents, right? When they get older, you know, they start to believe things without the research. And my mom, she's not listening. Love my mother. I'm definitely mama's boy. But when I went home in August,
And my mom lives in Granbury, Texas. Okay, this is an hour outside Fort Worth. And she showed me a picture from Facebook. She's like, hey, this is Lake Granbury. Look at this. And it was a picture of a great white shark. And I was like, Mom, I can assure you, it's okay. There is not a great white shark in Lake Granbury in Granbury, Texas. So it's going to be okay, Mom.
Is there water in Granbury, Texas?
There is, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm not familiar with, so like, I just wanted to make sure that she wasn't like, hey, this place right in the middle of Texas has a great white shark. Be like, no.
Now, I actually grew up with water around me. I used to go water skiing when I was in high school, if you can believe it. In the middle of nowhere, I had this oasis, all this water. But thankfully for us, no great white sharks. Coming up next on Bet Sweats, Joe and Sammy P will recap Monday Night Football, hand out their favorite plays in the majors, and they're going to look at NFL awards as well after Week 6. Corby Craig will join the show at 10 o'clock, and then Will Brinson from CBS Sports is along at 11 o'clock. All right, time to get down to it. Only one game on the baseball card. I did look at some hockey, but we're going to go to the diamond and bring you our favorite play of the day.
Time to place your bets.
Well, great. I went 0-2-1 last night. Lying in bed, ghost fans going, watching the Commanders on my phone. All I needed was a Commanders money line win to pair with my Bill Kroski merit. 50-plus rushing yards to go 1-1-1 didn't happen. So let's get on the right side tonight. Dodgers, Brewers, first five, under four. Minus 145. So we have Yoshinobu Yamamoto taking on Freddie Peralta tonight. And look, this first five bet didn't work out last night, but man, these two pitchers have been fantastic during the regular season. Big sample size here. That's what we're going with. Yamamoto has been on one for the Dodgers. Had a mediocre outing against the Phillies last week, three earned over four innings of work, but that is the exception to the rule. In 30 starts this season, including the playoffs, he's given up more than three runs, only a single outing, or in a single outing, only five times, right? So he's been even better on the road this season. 9-4, 2.13 ERA. Opponents are batting 168 against him. Then we've got Freddie Peralta going for the Brewers, one of the most dependable players in the game, one of the best starters in the game. He is Milwaukee's ace. Yeah, didn't pitch well against the Cubs in his previous appearance, but like Adam was talking about in our previous segment, the Cubs know him really well. The Dodgers do not. Peralta has made 33 starts this season. He has allowed more than three runs in just four of those starts. This is playoff baseball. Guys are still going to be on quick hooks, even the Brewers, who, yes, it could be a seven-game series. They cannot afford to go down 2-0 to the Dodgers. Even Peralta, I believe, could be on a quick hook if necessary, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Let's go first five under four, minus 145 tonight, game two in Milwaukee. Guys, don't forget, you can always check us out on YouTube. Watch a Daily Tip along with each and every show on the BetMGM Network. Make sure you like and subscribe. And as always, you can listen on the Odyssey app. Well, the Dogster is here. Chelsea took a break to take care of Dabby Doo, so thinking about Dabby right now. But the Dogster is ready to roll. Dogster, good morning. What's going on?
I have to say, I didn't see a lick of baseball last night.
All right, well, you probably watched football.
No.
All right, what were you doing?
I was hanging out with a couple of ladies and completed my own 8-6-2 double play.
Well, what does that even mean?
All you need to know is that there was a play at the plate.
Okay. Do you have a bet?
Dodgers, money line, taking on the Brewers.
All right, thank you for that. Coming up next on Bet Sweats, is anyone here from Bet Sweats? Am I going to go 0-3-1?
You're going to go 0-3-1. This is a Sammy P day. You know, Joe O's left us hanging in the past, but Sammy P has never left us hanging until today.
This is a trend.
There's a first time for everything, and we didn't want this first time. We did not subscribe.
God, need a little help here. The one time I'm like, we'll have Sammy P coming in. He's always dependable. Nope. Just another L for this guy. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. That's good. You know what's coming up next on Bet Sweats? I don't know. I don't even know if they're going to have a show.
Yeah. Hatred.
hatred.
Vitriol.
Nothing despair. But straight vitriol. And whatever this is going into my system. Probably caffeine. A little vitriol in here, whatever this is. Sounds like a chemical. Guys, thanks for being with us here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good luck to Chelsea. She's taking care of Dabby for D-Day, Double D, Dylan. I'm Jinx. Good luck in your bets today. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.